With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Sun Sports Football Podcast, sponsored by William Hill. I'm Derek McGregor. I'm joined at Glasgow HQ by Colin Duncan. Colin, it's been another spectacular weekend for our referees. I know you were at Motherwell Hearts. Shall we say, an unfortunate performance by Andrew Dallas. First of all, can I have your general kind of verdict on his display on Saturday?
It certainly wasn't his best, Derek. It wasn't the best weekend for him. I think it all stems back. I mean, the referees have clearly had some kind of edict, you know, telling them to clamp down and tackles with excessive force. But I mean, if we go on at this rate, we're going to be, you know, tackles are going to be eliminated from the game entirely. You know, every single time somebody goes in with a real strong tackle, you know, it's ended up in a red card. You know, I mean, Motherwell have been on the wrong end of two in the last 2 weeks. I was at the match on Saturday and I did feel for Carroll McHugh. I mean, I thought his tackle was controlled. You know, he certainly went in there with, you know, it was forceful, but it certainly wasn't, I didn't say it was dangerous, I wouldn't say it was reckless, and it's simply his momentum carries him through. You know, you can't really defy the laws of gravity. You know, you go in for a tackle, your body weight's going to carry you through, and, you know, he caught Don Cowie, but I didn't think there was any malicious intent, and I didn't think he deserved to have shown a red card. But, you know, Andrew Dallas had made a bit of a rod for his own back. You know, I think he dished out four yellow cards in the first half, and there was hardly a tackle of note. You know, every time somebody's making a tackle, the yellow card comes out. So, you know, he's building up, you know, and it doesn't help. You know, and with the ludicrous situation when he booked Mallory Martin as well. You know, he showed him a card when Louis Moult had actually tripped over his own player. You know, it was just a bad day at the office.
That's one of the most farcical cards I've ever seen. I think when quite clearly the two Motherwell players, I think it was Moult and Ainsworth, you know, have come together, and yet Martin's the one that's in the book. And it didn't even seem to me to be any doubt about it either.
No, he couldn't wait to get into his top pocket and brandish the yellow card in Mallory Martin's face. No, it was very, very, very strange. You see, you know, I think we ended up with a send-off and about seven bookings. I mean, it wasn't a dirty game. It wasn't a dirty game at all.
I mean, Mark McGee certainly did not hold back post-match, and do you have every sympathy for him doing so?
I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, I still think Hearts were the better team and probably deserved to win it. And in, I mean, it's guesswork, but I still thought even if it had stayed 11-11, they were on and taking the points. But you can understand, you know, why Mark McGee's incandescent with rage. The fact that, you know, 2 weeks in the trot, you know, he loses Scott McDonald against Rangers when the game's finally poised, balanced in his favour, because Rangers have already had a man sent off. Last week, you know, Hearts started off well. Motherwell just getting a foothold in the game, and McHugh walks, and you know, they're seeing out the last like 35 minutes with 10 men. You know, so I can totally understand. You know, and he was furious when he came into the press room. I mean, he didn't hold back. You know, there was no sugarcoating the situation. He gave the referee both barrels, and the referee probably deserved it on this occasion.
I mean, I was at St Johnstone Celtic yesterday, Colin, and, you know, for the second successive game against Celtic, you know, the Saints have suffered horribly. I mean, at Parkhead a couple of weeks ago, they were denied, you know, an absolute stonewall penalty for a blatant Scott Brown push on Stephen Anderson. Yesterday, they've seen a Scott Brown tackle on Danny Swanson in the box, ignored, waved away, appeals for a penalty waved away by Craig Thompson, and then 7 minutes later or so, there's a ridiculous penalty award against Keith Watson from a Kieran Tierney cross. Do you think there's definite merit in the feeling that the provincial teams as such will not get decisions, penalty decisions, that the Old Firm will?
If you look in the evidence of the last two Celtic St Johnstone games, then you're going to have to agree. I mean, I think these things do, you know, they do balance themselves out over the course of the season. You know, you get decisions going for you, you get decisions going against you. Motherwell, St Johnstone have been the wrong end of really, really bad decisions. I mean, the Scott Brown one at Parkhead a couple of weeks, I mean, it was the most blatant penalty.
It was just the two hands you used, Colin.
Seen, you know, so I mean, there was no doubt about it. You know, Stonewall penalty. The one against Keith Watt was absolutely ludicrous. I just do not understand what the referee could have seen to blow his whistle straight away and point to the penalty spot.
Do you think he guessed, assumed?
I mean, I'm trying to think where his positioning was, but I mean, I'm trying to think, it doesn't matter where you are, you know, the ball's his elbow, his hip, it's...
Yeah.
His hand is in a completely other direction from where the ball, you know, you're talking an elbow and a hip, it's not...
I mean, you know, you and I have both seen instances where, you know, a defender has charged in to block a cross and quite clearly his arms are up, he's asking for a penalty in a way. That's something that infuriates me. Quite often a ref will give it and some refs won't. On this particular case, I'm thinking, even if it actually does hit Watson directly in the arm, how can it be deliberate?
Yeah.
Because of the positioning of his body.
I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing and it's always easy to go over these decisions, you know, and after the benefit of replays, but I mean, it's a simple, simple decision. You know, there shouldn't really be, we shouldn't be sitting here this morning debating that penalty that never was. You know, it's an easy decision for an experienced referee like Craig Thompson to make.
Do you think he's gone home last night, watched Sports Scene and kind of cringed a little bit?
I'm sure he has. I'm sure he's realised after the game, and he's, I'm sure they'll have watched reruns of the thing after the game. You know, the TV cameras were in the TV booth and had a look. I mean, they quite often do that, and I'm sure... And Andrew Dallas has watched back his thing. I'm sure he knows straight away, you know, that he's cocked up.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in fairness, we had the former Grade 1 referee, Kenny Clark, as a Sun Sport columnist for long enough. And, you know, Kenny would make the point that no matter what you might think of certain referees, they will know if they've made a bad decision and no one suffers more than them.
I mean, they clearly don't do it deliberately. You know, the last thing they want is attention, unwelcome attention. But, I mean, you're talking basic errors here, and yeah, referees will make mistakes. We can't keep, you know, week in, week out, we always seem to be talking about again as referees, you know, and it's basic errors that they're making. And I mean, I know it's been mooted before, and other people have talked about, you know, what does the fourth official do? Surely that he should have, you know, in the modern technology, a little iPad or something, a laptop, they're just sitting beside him. That when there's a contentious issue like that, quick replay, you're talking 5-10 seconds at the very most, he's hooked up to the referee as well. Referee asks him, was that a penalty or not? No, we play on. Yes, you give it. It's the game doesn't have to stop. We don't have to have a, you know, like tennis and hockey, we don't have to go through a laborious process where it takes, you know, the best part of 30 seconds, a minute, and we wait for the decision. You know, you get it in rugby as well. The decision can be made in 5-10 seconds.
I think that's an excellent point you make, Colin, and I totally agree with it. I mean, Brendan Rodgers, after the game at McDermott Park yesterday, was asked how he felt about full-time refereeing, and he said on balance he thinks it would be a good thing. I happen to think that regardless of a ref being full-time or part-time, it still comes down to a split-second decision. And I don't think a full-time status would make a difference in that situation. Do you?
No, it's, I mean, you're just put on the spot, you know, and it's that split second. And I always think, if you've got any doubt, then don't give it. It seems the opposite seems to be happening with Scottish football, the referees in Scotland.
This gets back to your point about video technology, and I agree with you. In instances like that, this is where it is definitive, you know, and the time it would take.
Well, they keep talking about
it's not going to be that long.
They keep talking about the referee. It's not just the referee. That the referee, the assistant linesman, and the four officials are a team. You know, we keep hearing it trotted out time and time again that they work as a team. But I don't see them working as a team. I think that's part of the problem. The ref's left isolated far too often, and I'm sure. I mean, he's clearly got doubts when these decisions are making. So his assistants help him. Fourth official, give him some help, because he can't get everything's spot on 100% of the time. That's just not going to happen.
I mean, there's a theory about, you know, refs being full time, it would help with their fitness. I must admit, generally, I never get the impression there's a fitness issue with our referees as such. But again, it just comes down to making split second decisions. And I just don't think that being full time is going to guarantee a ref will always get that right. Whereas if you say if they've immediately got the capacity to refer to the fourth official with a video, you know, with a TV replay, we know it.
Well, you look at the rugby at the weekend, Derek, you know, it's a different game, you know, more technical game. Obviously, it's harder to referee, but they've embraced the technology. The referee, they've got the guy sitting in the stand and he's watching. Very, very rarely do you get a mistake in rugby. You don't hear many coaches or players coming out and blaming the referee for a decision in rugby. It doesn't happen. They take that element out of the game, which football needs to start having a look at.
I suppose in terms of a penalty decision, where it might be difficult is, obviously, if a cross is coming in the box and there's a suspected handball, the play carries on. Can the ref then stop the play to check the television and then decide whether it's a penalty or not? I suppose that's the one.
Yeah, well, if it means getting the decision right rather than getting a decision wrong, then I certainly think we should trial it out. You know, we should trial it out and see how we get on.
Do you think deep down most refs are possibly coming to that way of thinking as well? Instead of a scenario like yesterday where, you know, he's hung out to dry, he's left looking idiotic, both Andrew Dallas and Craig Thompson. Do you suspect that they probably prefer assistance now in terms of technology?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the last thing that Craig Thompson wants to do is pick up his papers this morning. He's in the back page of every single national newspaper in Scotland. I mean, Andrew Dallas as well, and so much coverage over him, his performance at the weekend. Referees want to be picking up the paper, looking at the match, and not seeing a single mention of their name. That means that they actually know that's what they're looking for.
I mean, let's be frank here. Over the years, there's been maybe one or two referees we've suspected love the attention, they like to be at the forefront, but surely, generally speaking, no one in terms of refereeing in their right mind wants to be all over the back pages getting slaughtered.
No, definitely not. And that when that's happening, and it's happening far too often, that tells you that we've got a problem. So let's try and deal with it. You know, let's be grown up about it. Let's, you know, the referees, the managers, get together. Let's speak about it, discuss ways that we can improve and eliminate these mistakes, because we just seem to be making the same mistakes year in, you know, year out.
I think two or three years ago, there was a kind of feeling, maybe 4 years ago, there was a sense of a crisis point in terms of the standard of our referees. We came through that, there seemed to be a settling down period. But now, as you rightly point out, Colin, suddenly, recent weeks, referees are now coming sharper into focus for bad decisions. Do you think the standard's going down again?
No, not necessarily.
I mean, just certain moments.
You know, it's the same down south in the Premier League. You know, the number of times the referees are in the spotlight there for making wrong decisions, it's very similar. I just think genuine mistakes are being made and will always be made. Let's try and eliminate most of them by embracing some sort of technology, video reruns, fourth officials, assistant linesmen, referees, whatever you want to call them, becoming more involved in the game to help out the guy in the middle.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Returning to the actual football as such, Colin, Celtic, relentless. 29 domestic games unbeaten from day one, including 19 successive league wins, 27-point lead at the top. I mean, it's utterly relentless.
It's phenomenal. You know, it's absolutely phenomenal. And, I mean, all credit to Brendan Rodgers. You know, you think that Celtic team last season under Ronnie Dyla, where they were, you know, the direction of going, a number of times they were stuttered and stammered, just didn't get going. I mean, it's virtually the same players. You know, he hasn't made millions and millions. He's not completely transformed a squad or a team. Added a few new faces here and there. And the results that you know, that they've been getting this season, you know, hats off to them. You know, full credit. You know, every time they as well as playing some cracking football and entertaining football, they really know how to dig out a result, and that's always the sign of a good team. You know, when things are close, when games are tight, they always find a way to win.
I mean, the last two or three games, they're not starting Dembele, they're not starting Griffiths, Armstrong, Rodic, and then the 2.8 million signing from Krasnodar. You know, he's just been parked. He's not even in the squad. He's got the luxury of being able to settle in, no problem. And yet, you know, they're still seeing teams off. And I must say, personally, I think their attitude, their desire is remarkable, because you would have thought it would be easy to forgive them if they switched off at this stage. But it seems the closer they get to this invincible season, they want it even more.
Well, all the fringe players seem to be feeding off that momentum that the other guys are creating. You know, if you look in the last few weeks, Dedryck Bayata has been brought back into the team. And everybody thought his Celtic career was over, that he was finished, he'd be moved on in the January transfer window. Brendan's given him a shot, and he's, you know, you take your hat off to him. You know, he's played really well. He's weighed in with a few goals over important cameos from Callum McGregor, who has had a really good season anytime he's been called upon.
Good point.
Even Liam Henderson comes back in. You know, he's made four and five changes over the last couple of weeks, bringing new people, you know, people back into the team who have been on the periphery, and they've stepped up to the plate.
That's right, good management, isn't it? He's cultivated this kind of atmosphere that when you get a chance, you've got to take it. Mackay Stephen, these boys that are getting, you know, they've only had three or four starts, suddenly in the team, and their attitude's at it right from the first opportunity, you know?
You just get the feeling there is a strong bond, you know, from even the guys you're not playing week in, week out. You can tell they're all pulling in the same direction. Sometimes when guys are not in the team, you know, they can go in a strut, they go in a huff, you know, it's all about them, but they've obviously clearly bought into Brendan's team ethic. Guys like Christian Gamboa is another one who's come back in recently and done well. Anytime you go and speak to get up to their training ground at Lennox Town, everybody's got a smile on their face. Well, even the people who are not playing regularly are all buying into Brendan's ethos and what he's trying to do up there.
I mean, I was at the Hearts game the other week. Gamboa was outstanding at right back. Now he's out the team. Simunovic has been playing well. He was left out yesterday. Back in comes Fichenko. And Brendan Rodgers is rotating the team. As you say, he's still maintaining that trick of things just seamlessly carrying on, which is very, very good management.
I mean,
it's just man management is everything, really, isn't it?
It's exceptional management. It's attention to detail. You know, we've all been dealing with Brendan this season. You know, and he's so meticulous. He's so thorough. You know, Chris Davis was saying last week, you know, that they were talking about when they're analysing the goals they concede. They don't only just look back at the goals they concede. They look back at the chances they concede. Mm. You know, meticulous attention to detail. You know, it's bordering on obsessive, but that's what gets results. You know, there's no stone left unturned. They'll absolutely analyse to the nth degree every aspect of each match, so that the next time that they make it, they can try and improve upon that, and so forth and so on. So, I mean,
I'm not meaning this to sound like a Brendan Rodgers loving, but it's kind of hard not to give him anything other than credit at the minute. I still maintain it'll be interesting to see if and when it eventually happens as a domestic blip, whether it's this season or next, how he will be at that point. That'll be fascinating. But, you know, at the moment, can you honestly see anyone at home stopping them?
Well, it's the old adage, isn't it? The harder harder you work, the luckier you get. You know, that's what they used to say, you know, and teams going on rolls like this. And on current areas, I still think, you know, somewhere along the line they'll trip up.
You think this season will still be a stunning result?
I still think someday they will come unstuck. To go through an entire domestic season with all the cups, I just don't think is possible.
I'm with you in that one, Colin.
I could be proved wrong, but I think they will slip up somewhere down the line. But
no, I'll provide reassurance, because I'm with you in this one, Colin. I still think that there will be out the blue a defeat that no one saw coming. But I mean, I must admit, I'm sat at McDermott Park yesterday, and I think the Scott Brown tackle and Danny Swanson, if Craig Thompson gives that as a penalty, that's almost certainly 3-1 for St Johnson. The Celtic still win, who knows? But the thing was, questions were getting asked to Celtic yesterday. Questions were asked at Motherwell not that long ago. They're 2-0 down and they come back. So, you know, with every week that passes, this invincible season.
Well, as I say, the momentum just continues to build. And I think when you get on a run like that, confidence must be so high. And I'm sure those players get out every single week thinking that they're not going to get, you know, they start to think they are invincible. And as you highlighted the Motherwell games, the St Johnstone game, every time they're in a little bit of trouble, they find a way to get out of it.
See, if you were part of that Celtic dressing room right now, and with every week that passes, would this possibly...
I don't think that's going to happen at this stage of my life, Derek. I don't think...
There have been players I've seen in recent years, Colin, that I think you could do just as well as, certainly better. Do you think the Celtic squad now really has a sense of making history here? That's a serious motivational factor, Philip?
Without a shadow of a doubt. You know, the fact that they've just eclipsed, you know, a record set by the Lisbon Line, you know, the most famous Celtic team in history, you know, that they have gone one better. You know, that's an incredible achievement in itself. And you know, you speak to all the guys and you know how much it means to them. So now that to go on and better that, you're going to be the first team to go through an entire season. You know, that they talk about the Arsenal achievement is arguably the greatest achievement in English football history. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. Not just another record, another milestone landmark. I mean, this is to
proper.
Go down as one of the all-time greats. So that tells you how good it would be if they go on and are able to do it.
Celtic's next three games are all at home, starting with Cali Thistle in the Cup on Saturday, followed then by Motherwell and Hamilton Accies. The best will in the world, can you see either of those stopping Celtic?
No. I think on our own patch, I can see them easily going through the season winning all their home games. I can see that happen. The one where you can see them struggling to go, you know, as the season goes on and everybody's desperate to try and be the team to break the record, you know, going to Pittodrie in the second half of the season, going to Tynecastle, you know, they've got a bit of momentum, got a builder out ahead of steam, starting to head in the right direction under Ian Cathro. You know, another game at Ibrox, you know, they're certainly far stronger. But these are the games where, if the record has got to end, that's where I probably see it happening.
Well,
even St Johnston again, who have given them a couple of decent games of late.
You mentioned Pittodrie, and I think they're not due to go to Pittodrie until after the split.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, long before that, they could have had the title won anyway. And, you know, there is a theory that, you know, Celtic were to win the league by mid to late March, they then start giving key men holidays. They give them a week off, maybe 2 weeks off, and then you're getting kids coming in. That's possibly where Celtic could lose the invincible record, run.
It's certainly a dilemma for Brendan, because you have to also take into the consideration that the fact there's going to be so many internationals, summer internationals at the end of the season as well. Most of the Celtic team are going to be involved in them somewhere along the line, so he has to weigh up that. Second consideration is Champions League qualifiers.
Yes.
You know, so they're going to be back in June.
I suppose you've got the cup final end of May.
Yeah, so if
Scotland-England.
Final, which they probably will be. Scotland-England, you've got Champions League qualifiers. Somewhere along the line, Brendan Rodgers has to give his players a break.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're going to get a scenario where guys are going to have like 1 week summer holiday, which is no good to anyone when they're coming back in, trying to win the Champions League qualifiers. So as the season goes on, he has to think, well, do we really want to go for this record all guns blazing and try and keep it going? Or do I have to look at the bigger picture here and say, well...
Well, that is a good question you raise there, Colin. Is the bigger picture Champions League qualification, or do they focus on making this history? What is the bigger picture?
Well, I think you probably... I mean, we're at the start of February.
Yeah.
I think it's a decision you can delay for at least another month and a half, another couple of months. If they're still unbeaten,
yeah,
as we head into April, then
there'll be a certain pressure from the fans to go for it.
Oh, definitely.
It?
So yeah. we get to the end of March, beginning of April, and they're still unbeaten, then that's when he has to make the decision of whether they go and try and be the history makers, or does he look at the bread and butter of, you know, trying to get the revenue earning qualifying for the Champions League.
Colin, Rangers 1-1 against Ross County. Where, on the back of a thrashing by Hearts at Tynecastle, where does Saturday's result now leave Mark Warburton, do you think, in terms of job security?
In terms of job security, I think he'll probably be okay for the time being. I think the pressure that he's under, certainly at the moment, is coming from his own supporters.
Mm.
Been a real sea change in the last couple of weeks. You know, the supporters were very much behind him. They had a couple of rocky spells. Heavy defeat against Celtic, you know, at the start of the season. But the supporters were, you know, kind of bought into it, thought, you know, it's not
sympathetic.
Yeah, we're not going to close this gap overnight. It's going to take a little bit of time. But as each passing week, you can see more and more supporters turning against. They're seeing the same things happen, the same mistakes happen. It's the same mistakes every, you know, they play the same system, they make the same mistakes. They're exposed time and time again at the back. Doesn't seem to be any learning process here. You know, yep. By all means, you learn on the job, make mistakes, you work in a training ground to try and rectify them. doesn't seem much evidence of that. Rangers, the Rangers players seem to get out and make the exact same mistakes week in, week out. And I think that's what the patience of the supporters is fast running out, because it's like watching the same movie.
Yeah.
You know, they have all this possession, neat and tidy, without having a killer edge. You know, teams sit in, work them out, and pick them off.
It's been a long time since they sang about Warburton's magic hat, hasn't it? I mean, it's, you're right, you just sense every week that passes now there's more and more dissenting voices. I mean, they've got Morton in the Scottish Cup this weekend, and albeit at Ibrox, you know, I think in the current climate, that's a tricky game. That's a tricky game.
Well, Morton, I mean, I've seen Morton a few times this season. I've been very, very impressed with them. They were also unlucky when they played Aberdeen in the Cup semi-final at Hampden. You know, so they won't be intimidated by the thought of going to Ibrox. You know, they've got a lot of players who've dropped down from playing at a higher level. You know, this is a terrific chance for them to you know, prove that they're not inferior by any stretch of the imagination.
And, I mean, we're biased. Our manager, Jim Duffy, obviously is a Sun Sport columnist as well. A proper manager who, you know, very shrewd. He will know what it can take to frustrate Rangers at Ibrox.
Yep, as we've seen with most managers this season, I've been able to figure them out and take something from Rangers. No, I don't think Keith have been unduly worried by what he's seen in the Hearts game at Tynecastle, the game against Ross County at the weekend. I think that, you know, it's still going to be a tall order, but I think there'll be a quiet air of confidence in that Morton camp, thinking we can really, you know, this team are under pressure, their fans are on their back, the players are low in confidence. We can really go there and make a real statement of intent.
If Morton win on Sunday, do you see Warburton being sacked? What would be your gut feeling?
Yeah, I think if they lost at home to Morton, then yeah, that could be the end. Yeah, it would not surprise me if that was his last game in charge, if they lost to Morton in the Cup.
He made several big calls, you know, team selection calls, calling on Saturday, and one of the more noticeable ones was Rob Kiernan out of the squad altogether. It's, you know, we've reported today that Kiernan, you know, he came under verbal abuse from fans at half-time in the game on Saturday. You know, regardless of how a player's performing, that's out of order, surely. That can't happen.
Yeah, no, there's a line being crossed there. Rob Kiernan has not had a good season. He's made certain mistakes, but it's not as if he's getting out on that pitch trying to make mistakes.
No.
He can tell his confidence. He probably should have been taken out the firing line before now. You know, there's just been a build-up and a build-up, you know, and he seems to be the scapegoat. I mean, I think, unfairly at times, because there's plenty of other guys in that team who get off scot-free, who the supporters don't turn on, who are equally as culpable. Kiernan just seems to be the one that gets it in the neck, and no, when he's getting verbally abused by his own supporters, I mean, that's completely out of order.
We'll wrap up this podcast, Colin, by very briefly looking at Hearts Hibs. I mean, it's not that long ago that the Hearts fans were looking on this Derby Cup tie this weekend with dread, but you know, in the space of a week, suddenly it's turned. Do you think momentum's now with Hearts going into this tie at Tynecastle?
It probably is. You wouldn't have said that this time last week. You know, is it one win in nine, I think, in 90 minutes? Obviously, they beat Raith Rovers in extra time, you know, and the standard of football had been poor.
Yeah.
Hearts were really, really, really toiling. Brings in all the new players in January. You're thinking, well, nine new signings, that's going to take a wee bit of time to bed in. You know, this you know, settling in processes, it could drag on for weeks, but, I mean, the performance against Rangers was hugely impressive. You know, Rangers did make it easy for them at times by the manner of defending, but you have to take your hat off to the way Hearts just went at them right from the first whistle. And, you know, you can see them building confidence as the game went on. And I watched them, obviously, at Motherwell on Saturday. You know, they huffed and puffed for a bit, but they didn't panic. They didn't panic. I always thought that they would get there, even before Motherwell went down to 10 men, run out 3-0 winners in the end, which is going to give, you know, a huge, huge morale boost ahead of the game with Hibs. And then it also helped with the fact that Hibs then go and struggle at home to Ayr United as well. So, yeah, I mean, Hearts, home advantage, are going to head into the game now as slight favourites, which you probably wouldn't have said about a week ago.
Colin, as always, grateful for your insight and opinion. Thanks very much.
Thank you.